Hey, welcome to the Sunnydale Diaries. This is a podcast where I, Melanie, and my friend Sean...
Hello.
...talk about every episode of Buffy the Vampire Slayer, a show which Sean is just so enamored of because he's watched it since the 90s several times over, and I have not. Today we are talking about Season 2, Episode 9, mm-hmm. What's My Line? Since the show kind of revolves around the career fair, we thought we would start by talking about careers. Yeah. Not rears, careers. Sean, how did you get into your career?
Well, as a kid, I always wanted to be a doctor. Oh. Like my sister's going to be a nurse, I was going to be a doctor.
Oh.
My sister ended up becoming a nurse.
You did not become a doctor.
I did not become a doctor. The doctor thing lasted, I would say, probably through middle school. Oh. Into high school, I was like, you know what? I don't think I want to do that.
What turned it around?
I couldn't tell you one thing specifically. I think I just lost interest. Like, the thought of, like, going to school for that long.
It's a long time.
It really is. And, you know, now as an adult, knowing, like, the amount of debt that they have to go into, it's crazy.
Yeah.
And I know after you've touched on it before that, like, in high school, I was in a lot of, like, the writing related activities. So I was like, I'm going to be an English teacher.
Oh, yeah.
That lasted probably 2 or 3 years.
Yeah.
And then, you know, again, reality.
Yeah.
You know, I don't feel like, unfortunately, teaching is not the honor profession that I feel it used to be, like, when we were kids. Mm-hmm. So that went away. Thought I'd be interested in becoming a psychologist for a little bit.
You were all over the place.
I really was. And then,
which you should be, I think.
Yes.
As a young person.
Yeah, you don't know.
Like, they put a lot of pressure on you to know that stuff when you're 16, 17 years old. What do you know?
Not much of anything.
Yeah. All right.
I feel like my niece, who's 13 now, like, she's jumped through 6 or 7 different things, which you'd expect because she's 13. And then when I started college, I was at orientation and they had a special informational program about allied health careers. So not doctor, not nurse, but other things like your physical therapy, occupational therapy. And at the time it was called medical technology.
Mm-hmm.
And since then, like when I started the program, they changed it to clinical laboratory technology, which is a lot more descriptive.
Mm-hmm.
Medical technology is very
big. Pretty broad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I liked the idea of it because it was something medical, which I did always like, but it wasn't direct patient care, which I really didn't want. And it was a heck of a lot of science,
yeah.
Which I enjoyed. And,
yeah.
You know, that was your freshman orientation, and that became my major, and I stuck with it. And graduated, lucked out because I had to do internships while I was my junior and senior year. And almost all of my internships were at the same hospital. So by the time I finished my last one, which was like January of my senior year, they said, well, you're fully trained. You want a full-time job?
Yes.
Like, you know, didn't have to interview. Like, it was literally, I finished the internship and started getting paid.
Yeah, that's great.
So I started off as like, you know, per diem. And then when I graduated, I was full-time.
Yeah.
And... It was good.
Yeah.
You know, I did that full time, like 2 years, and then there was a software company on Long Island, one that you interacted with in your job, and they were hiring for a tester, you know, to test blood bank software, and then that's how I got into healthcare IT.
So would they recruit you?
I remember I found the article, the ad in a newspaper and faxed my resume.
Oh.
It shows you how long.
Oh, yeah. Curly fax paper.
Yep. we had one of those, like, combination printer fax machines.
Yeah.
And I faxed my resume and, you know, they hired me. I should have known it was a bad sign when I started that the person who hired me had quit.
Oh.
But once I started, found out that the software that I was working on was being sunset.
Yeah.
Because it was old. It was like a text-based application.
They were coming
up with a Windows one.
Yeah,
I mean, I was there for 2.5 years.
Yeah.
But, you know, it got me into healthcare IT. It got me into software testing, which is something I still do today. Yeah. And, you know, I'm...
Get to use your writing skills and your documentation.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, healthcare IT is a good combination of everything that I want it to be.
Yeah.
You know, it's writing. It's, you know, I get to pull my lab back around sometimes. Mm-hmm. I went back to the lab briefly after that job for like 6 months, only really because I couldn't find a job anywhere else.
Yeah.
And it was a very good experience, but it was night shift. Some people are born to do overnights.
Yeah.
I was not one of them.
Me, yeah.
I was practically in tears every day when the alarm went off at like 10 p.m. I just did not like it.
Yeah.
The work was fine.
Yeah.
It was actually, it was a pretty advanced lab. They had like robotics lines. So like, the phlebotomist would come and drop off their specimens, and like robotics would be like, pick it up, move it to whatever instrument it needs to go on. And it was cool to work with.
Wow.
But then I got the call for the job in Florida. So 6 months in,
Melanie is calling.
And, you know, been in Florida in healthcare IT ever since.
Wow.
Yeah. So that's me.
I wanted to be a teacher, speaking of teaching.
Yeah.
From before the time I was in school, probably before I even went into school. And then all the way up through my graduate degree in elementary education. And in between there, you know, I had like a lot of administrative kind of jobs, you know. Yeah. But, yeah, and then when I got out of school, and I remember, you know, like I hadn't hit that reality yet.
Yeah.
And that was one of the things that my dad used to, he was so proud of me at my graduation, because he was like, and you were telling people, because they were like naysaying, somebody in my family, naysaying about the money of teaching. And you were like, it's not about the money, it's the children, which is very naive view of it. And I agree with you. Teaching is definitely, I feel so bad for teachers, and it's such an important job, but... Yeah. Anyway, when I got out of my degree, I lived in a college town where there were like 500 of us graduating in the same town. We all came out with the same portfolio, and there were like 2 teaching positions open.
Oh, wow.
So I, part of my, while I was in school, I was temping and doing administrative work. And I ended up, they're kind of like you, they just hired me and they were like, okay, we could use you here. Great. And I kind of taught myself some technology stuff there, some programming, and that fed into, I left that job and went to, a friend of mine had moved to this hospital to do some IT stuff and said, Melanie, we have a position on our team for a billing person. And I was like, all right. And then when I got there, they decided that they saw something in me that I was smart enough to do some IT work. And so I kind of launched my career that way and did that for about 20 years after that, healthcare IT, pharmacy IT.
So you knew someone at the hospital we worked at that helped?
No, at the first hospital I worked at in Gainesville.
Got it.
A friend of mine, and he said, come over and interview for this billing position. But then they said, no, we're going to put you in this analyst position. Then I learned a lot 5 years there. And then I wanted to get out of Gainesville, and I had friends here in this area. And so I sent my resume and had a phone interview from the conference room. I remember one of the housekeeping guys came in the room while I was on my interview, and he was like, oh, he couldn't believe I was, you know, gonna leave and I was interviewing. I was like, shh, gotta keep his secret. My boss at that job, at my first hospital job, she gave her notice the same week I gave my notice.
Oh,
they were very upset because we were like the two.
I'm sure, pretty much.
It was us. And so that was hard for them. But it worked out for me. And and then I moved here and I worked at that hospital for 15 years until we got laid off. And amazing the journey that life brings you on.
Something that I noticed recently, really every job, at least since I've been in Florida, I've gotten it because I've known someone, but I've known someone at the company, you know, that hired me. And I really think like that helped me get my foot in the door.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. It's who you know.
Yeah.
In a lot of cases, this job down here that I took was the first one where I didn't really know. I mean, I guess when I started that temp job, I didn't really know anybody, but yeah, when it came to getting a real job, yeah, I did. And do you find that, did you ever do temp jobs?
No, never did.
I had a lot of those through the years, and it was always like I'd end up, you know, they'd be like, "Do you want to just come work here?" And I'd be like, "Oh, okay."
That's good.
So I've had a lot of varied jobs.
Yeah, I really only had 3 before like the career.
Yeah,
I worked at a supermarket, worked at Michael's.
Yeah.
And was an orientation leader for a college.
Yeah.
And then started then my full-time
job. Then launched you into your career.
Yeah.
Yeah. And now I don't really have a career. I am back doing administrative part-time and my art part-time. Life is a journey.
It really is. I mean, I never thought I'd be doing stuff like what I'm doing now.
Yeah.
At all.
Yeah.
You know, I thought I'd be in the lab a lot.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, you know, so much of what I learned in school was manual methods, and everything is so automated that I felt like, not completely, but a lot of what I was doing was like pushing buttons and, you know, verifying that the results that came over from the instrument were correct.
Yeah.
And it just...
It's different.
Yeah. And like at the time, I was like 22, 23, working 3 to 11 p.m.
Yeah.
Working every other weekend.
Yeah.
I was like, I don't want to do
this. Yeah, it's not good.
Yeah.
I got to say, I think we touched on this in another episode. We were talking about beepers and being on call.
Yeah.
I do not miss it.
Not at all.
Don't miss that aspect of healthcare IT. So let's go back to this episode where it's all centric on the career day, career fair. Mm-hmm. Do you think there's value in doing that kind of thing? Like, I know in middle school we had career day. I don't think there's any value in that. I mean, I guess to tell you what kind of things are out there. And I remember our guidance counselor had a giant file cabinet full of folders of different careers. You could just thumb through and go, oh, okay, archaeologist, you know. Mm-hmm. But do you think there's value to having career fair?
Not necessarily a fair, but I like the idea of like people coming to a class to describe what they do. I think because you learn about careers that you never knew existed, and you're hearing it directly from somebody who's doing the job. Like, I went back to the clinical lab school when I was in that first software company on Long Island and, you know, talked about the company and what I was doing. And a couple of people were really interested in it. And they went right into IT. And I still know some of them. They're still in IT. So I think going and talking to someone to go to a class, even if it's like elementary school level, just to let them hear about it, I think that's useful. I don't think, like, you know, like the tests, like what they took.
Yeah.
I feel like we did something like that one year.
Yeah.
I don't even remember.
What are you suited for?
Yeah. I think that's a lot of crap.
Yeah.
But I do like the idea of, you know, hearing directly from people, you know, I'm an archaeologist and this is what I do.
Yeah. Yeah. And I guess they have adult versions of these things, you know, job fairs where they have, you know, different companies set up. Yeah, I don't know. Like I said before, you don't know. Mm-mm. You don't know. I guess it's good to get exposure to different careers, like you said, to know what's out there. Interesting.
Yeah.
All right, so let's get into the episode.
Okay. What's my line? So we get a previously on.
Yeah, Drusilla episode. Obviously, it's going to be a Drusilla episode.
Yes.
And I wrote, maybe we'll learn what else she misses besides Prague. So the previously on. And then we open with the career fair prep.
Mm-hmm.
Cordelia and her lackeys are walking around.
And new minions.
Yep. Yeah. And I have to make a comment about her black sheer pantyhose. Not a fan.
No.
Pantyhose in general.
We've talked about pantyhose. About yeah, I don't get it.
Bad.
Yeah, her minions did not speak at all.
They just... never do.
Well, Harmony
they
did.
They never do. I guess Harmony did.
Yeah, no one else.
Yeah.
There are a lot of beef and animal references in this episode.
Okay.
I'll be pointing them out as we go.
Please do.
Well, Cordelia said something about that she came down on the side of shrubs. That wasn't Cordelia.
No. They're taking the aptitude test.
Yes.
And Buffy says, do I like shrubs?
Yes. And then Willow said she came down on the side of shrubs.
What personality test is asking you about shrubs? What are your feelings on shrubs? A.
You like shrubs. B. You want to kill all the shrubs. C. What are shrubs?
That's right. D. Knee.
And then Buffy said, it's all Mootville for me.
It's Mootville.
And then that made me think of Friends and Joey saying, it's a moot point.
It's a moot point.
It's a cow opinion.
Oh,
beef reference number one.
Got it.
All right.
Ding. Okay. And then we learn Snyder is forcing them to fill out. You know, Snyder is all about, like, you will participate in school.
Yeah, he is really into the participation.
He really is.
He wants them to have good extracurricular activities when they go to college.
They're going
to
be thankful eventually.
He really does care.
Except for then he tells Xander that anything that comes out of his mouth is a waste of breath.
Yeah.
It's a toxic cloud.
It's a complicated relationship.
Duality. Giannis.
Bringing it back to Halloween.
Yeah.
Then we cut over to Spike and Drusilla.
I have a question first.
Sure.
So, Buffy, they're talking about, you know, the careers, and Buffy's like, well, what am I going to do? I'm kind of, like, fated to be the Slayer, right? Then I started thinking about that. Like, what kind of job is she ever going to have in life? Is she going to be like, what's that? The Slayer doesn't pay the bills.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Right? What's 40-year-old Buffy Slayer going to look like? What's her life going to look like? She's still going to be living with Joyce?
I mean, at that point, Joyce is going to be in jail.
Right. Well, yeah. But
you know, I get what
she's going to have Joyce's house and I don't know.
Well, and I know they mentioned a couple of times about, you know, law enforcement.
Yeah.
I don't want to, you know, pigeonhole her into something, but it kind of makes sense.
I guess.
But yeah, she can't really have an office job.
Right. She's going to be not reliable.
Yeah.
Right?
Especially at night.
Yeah.
She could be on call.
She's going to have to get some FMLA or something to cover all those absences.
She could not have the beeper.
No. I mean, she could have it.
She's
not going to answer it. All right. Yeah, okay. So then we are in the cave with Spike and Drusilla and some random vampire accountant guy.
He does look like
it. With his glasses. Yes. Okay. Why does he need glasses?
I don't have an answer. Maybe he just likes how they look.
Okay, maybe. All right.
Some people do that.
All right.
He wants to look smarter.
Okay, all right.
Don't you want your accountant to be smart?
I guess. Okay. And glasses mean smart. And Drusilla is doing a tarot reading, right? She's laying down some tarot cards.
Yep.
All right. And Spike is not happy with the translation that the accountant guy is giving him.
Debase the beef canoe. Beef reference number two.
All right. Ding. So, moo. Moo.
And Drusilla wanted to dance. Spike was not having it.
And then she does this weird one.
That's a good impression.
Thank you. That's a very niche impression.
All I wrote was Drusilla's wacky.
Yeah, she is wacky. And then, so this manuscript translating is supposed to hold the cure to whatever is wrong with her. Do we know what is wrong with her? Has she been sick this whole time that we've known her? I mean, I know she's kind of waifish, but...
I feel like, yeah, she's waifish and weak, I think, is what they're going
for. All right.
They really haven't said why, unless it was what happened in Prague.
Okay, all right. And then apparently they need the key to translate the manuscript.
Uh-huh.
And Spike is going to send the boys. We don't know what that means yet.
No.
All right, and then we get the credits.
Yep.
Nothing interesting to report on the credits.
Nope.
Okay.
Cemetery.
Yep, we're a little stroll in the cemetery, and she notices some lights on in the crypt and some hammering. Uh-huh. That accountant is up to something, so Buffy decides to just wait outside.
Imagine if he was Joyce's accountant.
He could be Joyce's accountant.
He's just working on our taxes in there. He liked the light.
Maybe
the
he's gonna hammer through all that BS that Joyce is pointing out. Art. Yeah, art. We'll call it art. The art of forgery and fraud. All right. So while Buffy's waiting, she gets attacked by one of what I assume are the boys.
Right.
The
stake did not dissolve.
I noticed that too. I'm paying attention. But the accountant has gotten away and disappeared. We don't know where he went.
Right.
We're back at Buffy's. And of course, Angel is lurking in her bedroom.
Don't like this.
With her pig, Mr. Gordo.
Not beef, but animal on four legs reference.
Oink, oink.
Mr. Gordo.
Yeah, Mr. Gordo. It's okay. Mom is out of town. Art buying.
Or something.
Or something.
She leaves town a lot.
She's on the lam. She can't stay put in one place for very long because the cops are on her trail.
Did your parents leave you alone for like 3 or 4 days at a time at 16, 17?
No.
Okay.
That's why I didn't either. No. All right. She's a bad mother. And a criminal. But okay, Buffy is confiding in Angel about kind of what I was talking about. Like, she's not sure what she's going to do with her life. Uh-huh. Then we get a quick shot of the mirror without Angel's reflection. Some of the camera work in this show is very random to me. Uh-huh. And it's like, well, we could use this effect. We're going to show there's no reflection. So we'll just jam this shot in here.
I didn't even notice that. You didn't, so thank you for pointing that out.
Yeah, okay. Well, apparently when I was looking at the IMDb goofs, apparently there's a shot in the scene where he walks by that mirror and he does have a reflection, so it's imperfect, but
we do get a reference to the episode title when she said it's a whole week of what's my line? But I don't get to play.
Yeah,
and they're planning on going skating.
Yes, but she says this is another lingo line. I just get messed sometimes.
I get messed. Get winged.
I wish we could be regular kids. Eh.
In the calf. Chattering.
In the calf. All right, yep. So they set up their ice skating date, which, of course, they're going to go to when it's closed.
On Tuesday.
They're just going to break in on Tuesday night and ice skate.
There are more Tuesday references in this show. Buffy used to air on Tuesdays.
See you next Tuesday. No. Oh. Why do they have to go? Why do they have to break in? Why can't they just go?
Maybe they just want it to themselves.
All right.
Kind of romantic,
I guess.
Have you ever been ice skating?
Yes, a lot. That was one of our things when I was in high school. One of my group of friends, one of our outings, we would go to the ice skating rink. Yes. And it was, I know I've mentioned him before, Peter Myers. I remember standing there watching him ice skate, couple skate with my friend, my girlfriend. And it was to the song by The Outfield called Every Time You Cry. And I just stood there behind the glass watching them skate together.
Were they together? Teenage. They were just friends.
He dated, wait, I don't know if we dated. We didn't date, but you know, we were a thing. And then he went to her and they were a little thing. Okay. And then he went to one of the other girls in our group and they were a little thing for, you know. So.
Yeah.
Peter. All right. So then we go to the list on the wall and Cordelia's ideal career choices, personal shopper or motivational speaker. I can see both of those things for her.
I agree. She would be good at both.
Yep. And Xander's going to be a prison guard, apparently.
Mm-hmm. And that made me think of there's a TikTok couple, Sam and Monica. He's British. She's American.
Okay.
They live in Florida.
Uh-huh.
In England, he was saying that crossing guards, because he said prison guard, and we think a crossing guard, are known as lollipop ladies. Because I guess they have the big
little sign that looks like a lollipop. Yep. Oh, okay. That's cute.
So, just sharing.
All right.
Yep. And of course, Buffy, law enforcement.
Yeah, law enforcement.
And Willow gets nothing.
We don't know.
No.
I also want to make a fashion comment on Buffy's awful outfit in this scene. Do you remember? She's wearing like this all tan, like it's a tan skirt and a tan V-neck top, a knit top with like black stripes on it.
Yeah.
And a black choker or mm-hmm. something.
It felt like a season one outfit to me. The skirt was very short again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We have gotten away from the pastel-y outfits though.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. So we don't know what's going on with Willow. Something. We're in the library, Giles with his giant pile of books, and he's been indexing the Watcher diaries from the last few centuries.
Indexing, cross-referencing.
Yeah, that's what he likes to do.
He's got to do it on his own because Jenny is not cross-referencing with him anymore.
And Willow's not there to, you know, do it for him on the computer.
Right.
So he's on his own. And then Buffy is wondering what the whole nine yards means.
Yeah, you know, I Googled.
Yeah.
And
what'd you come up with?
Nothing specific.
There was a little thing in the IMDb trivia about it, that it was a World War II fighter plane thing where that was the line of ammunition they had of the guns was 9 yards. So they'd come back with an empty string and say, I gave them the whole nine yards.
Yeah, I read that one. Yeah. And there is also something about it being a Native American joke in the 1800s.
Oh.
So I was like, well, those don't really go along. Something about a long shirt. It didn't really explain it well. Yeah.
Okay. If anybody has any ideas, let us know.
Yeah, the true origin of the whole nine yards.
Yeah.
Please share.
Yeah. And then Giles and Buffy are kind of bickering. And then we've got to find out. They land on. We got to find out what was stolen from the mausoleum.
Right.
And it turns out it was a giant gold cross.
Very, very big.
It was really big.
Yeah.
And Drusilla says that it hums. But we don't know why. We don't know what that means.
It's because she's
just
crazy.
Something she says.
Yep.
Just one of those things Drusilla says.
That's our Drew. And Spike is focused on Buffy.
Oh, he does not like her. She is the gnat in my ear.
So.
The gristle in my teeth.
Yeah.
The bloody thorn in my bloody side.
Oh, I like that.
You like that? Thank you.
So, in my old house,
yeah.
I went out to take the garbage.
Okay.
I went out to take the garbage.
You took the garbage out?
Yes.
I gotcha.
And
you know why I got that? Because I had the key to decoding that code.
Where's the big gold cross?
I got it. It's in my car.
I was taking the garbage out.
Yeah.
And a gnat flew in my ear.
Ooh!
Yeah.
Did it get stuck?
Yes.
Oh, you heard it buzzing?
Yes.
Oh.
It was bad. Cause it's after like 5-10 minutes, I'd be walking along and it's like, zzz.
It didn't die?
Not for hours.
Wow.
And I couldn't get it out.
You pour some alcohol in there?
Yeah.
And it still didn't die?
No. Finally, it only made 2 hours. But it was still in there. I could feel it.
Ooh.
I had to go to the doctor next day to flush it out. Which, if you've never had your ear flushed with warm water, that felt good.
Yeah?
Yes.
All right.
So that's my gnat story.
That's awful.
Yeah.
Man, that's a tenacious little thing, huh? Mm-hmm. Cockroaches and gnats. Oh, okay. Ooh, okay. So, obviously, the boys didn't work
No.
So now he's got to get the big guns. The Order of Taraka.
It's like the three of this season.
Did you look up Taraka?
I didn't. Did you?
No.
So a quick Google shows that the Order of Taraka was made up for this show.
Yep.
Would have been cool if they were real.
Yeah. And they are bounty hunters. There's three of them.
Mm-hmm.
And Drew is flipping over the tarot cards, which I'm imagining is supposed to denote each of these three. One of them is like a demon looking guy.
Mm-hmm.
One is like a wormy centipede. And the other one is a tiger in a bush.
Yes.
Okay. Then we're back at school. Xander and Willow are trying to kiss up to Snyder. And Snyder is his usual grumpy self. That's what he tells Xander, that his, you know, his whatever he has to say is worthless.
Yes. And then Willow gets escorted away.
Yeah, guys in suits.
Yeah.
Come behind the black curtain.
Now, okay, let's be realistic. This would never happen.
Okay, Sean.
No, I can deal with the supernatural stuff, but this would never happen.
Right.
So, yeah, she gets escorted away through the curtain.
Like they had to go through Principal Snyder to get this room.
That's true.
To like,
and order the shrimp cocktail.
And the canapes.
Yes. But yeah, I mean, Willow is pretty smart. Maybe he had the thing for smart people. Where he was like, "Do what you whatever you want."
Or his cop friends that he's, you know, because I don't know. All right, so but she okay. So they tell her to have some canapes, and then she's selected to meet with Mr. McCarthy, head of the largest software concern.
Yeah, that was weird.
What is that? A concern? I've never heard of anything referred to as a concern.
Mm-mm.
All right, they've been tracking her.
Oh. That's a little scary.
Only one other student.
And?
Met their qualifications.
It's Oz.
Oz.
And he got rid of his facial hair.
Yes. I made a note that this scene where they're sitting on the couch together and he notices her and they meet reminded me of the scene in Ferris Bueller.
Mm-hmm.
When Jennifer Grey's in the police station and she meets Charlie Sheen. Like yes. That shot lined up.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good.
Thanks. Dropping the deep cuts.
We get a reference to a reliquary.
Yes, a reliquary.
Yeah.
It's like a weird Catholic thing, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like sort of like Egyptians where they get buried with all the stuff that they're going to take with them.
Mm-hmm.
To the afterlife.
And I thought it was interesting that they you know, reliquary or crypt that they're referencing, the name is Dulac, because Interview with
Welcome
the Vampire.
Welcome to Dulac. No, oh. That reminded me of Shrek. That's the name of the place, Dulac.
You're right.
All right, sorry.
In Interview with the Vampire, the main character is Louis de Pont-Dulac.
Yes.
So I wonder if they chose Dulac on purpose.
Homage.
Yeah. You're reading those books right now.
I am. I am finally, I think I have about 15% to go in Queen of the Damned.
Cool. Good series of books if you haven't read them.
Yes. Josephus Dulac. He was part of a religious sect that was excommunicated by the Vatican. The stolen book was written in archaic Latin.
Not just Latin.
That's why the accountant said it seems like Latin, but it's not, because it's archaic.
That's why he messed up with the beef canoe.
You need the key. All right, and then we meet the three, the Order. The first guy, who I guess is supposed to be the demon guy. He's like the blind in one eye or something, I don't know. Getting off a bus.
Right.
And then we meet Norman Pfister of the Blush Beautiful Skincare. I wrote, not suspicious at all with his free samples and murder. And that actor, I was like, God, that guy looks so familiar. I know him from the movie Cocktail, where he played the world's last yuppie poet, or the world's first yuppie poet. And it was basically the same exact costume, just without the blush cosmetics briefcase.
Yeah.
Different briefcase.
I looked him up too, and he's one of those, like, he's been in so many things.
Yeah.
Do we get the scream then of the woman?
Yes.
Right?
Okay. Yes.
And then...
But what you don't see is there's no 911 of the nosy neighbors hearing that scream and, you know, calling the cops to the house. Nobody does that in this town.
Right, because the houses are pretty close together.
Yeah, that was
they
a loud scream.
Yeah.
All right.
It is sunny now.
I guess. And then we're in the cargo hold of a plane, and the cargo guy worker is kicked and knocked out by, the tiger lady in her satin pants and crop top.
What do you think about her? Just at this point, so you don't know anything else.
I was like, what the heck is with that outfit? And why are you traveling in a cargo hold?
Then we go, I believe, to the library, and John's wearing a polka dot tie. I never saw him in polka dot.
Didn't even notice.
Yeah. It's funny, but we each of us noticed.
I know. I do have one more note about when, so they're in the library. Yeah, this is where I am. Sorry.
Okay.
And they're talking about Dulac.
Yes.
He was a theologian. Theologian?
The first one you said
that. Okay. And a mathematician who came up with the Dulac cross. That's the big cross, I guess, right? Mm-hmm. And Xander says, you should have gone with the cross-o-matic or the amazing Mr. Cross. Xander. He's funny. But I did notice that the reference material where they're getting all of this information is an old National Geographic magazine. Like... It's not even some archaic tome. It's just a National Geographic magazine from 1965 or something.
How do they find that?
They're collectible.
No, I know that. Oh. But I mean, like, how do they find like the story about the cross in just a random National Geographic?
They've got everything in that library.
Okay.
It was in the archaic Latin section.
I did appreciate Xander saying that ho-hos were a vital part of his cognitive process.
I wrote that down, too. That's pretty funny.
And then we go ice skating.
Then we're in the ice skating rink. And apparently, Sarah, that's really Sarah Michelle Gellar.
Mm-hmm.
Ice skating.
What? Sarah Michelle what?
Gellar.
Like, did I hear that right?
Geller.
There you go.
Ross Geller.
She's just skating away. And then one of the Order Taraka attack.
The demon guy.
Yeah.
Unsuccessfully.
Yeah.
She takes him out, death by skate blade.
Ouch.
He drops down. There's no blood.
Mm-mm.
They're not vampires or anything. They're just people.
Yeah.
They're assassins.
Yeah.
There should have been blood.
I agree.
And it should have bounced on the ice.
Ooh, that would have been a good shot.
Yeah.
Come on, Joss.
There could have been some CGI there.
And he had a ring.
Yeah.
Just, again, it feels like the three from season one.
Yeah.
They also had a ring, right?
Yeah.
They're not what? They're
what? We're at the point, season two, we're rehashing things now, rehashing ideas.
Similar to the three, they're not lasting very long.
Yeah.
No.
And then Angel says, you shouldn't have to touch me when I'm like this. Like, doesn't he have control over when he turns and turns back.
You know what? I watched a quick, like, 5-minute recap of this episode because I watched it last week. I want to refresh my memory. And they said the same thing.
Oh.
Like, you know, why can't he?
Okay. All right.
But she doesn't care. She loves him.
She's kinky. Yeah. That's some kinky stuff. I would have been afraid. Like, if you're kissing someone with big fangs and stuff, you're going to, like, open mouth kissing, you can injure yourself.
Yeah, it's like two people with braces kissing.
Yes.
Dangerous.
Yeah. All right. And then the tiger lady is in the background watching them.
Yes.
Right? Okay, so then they're at the back of the library. They got the ring. Giles recognizes it, of course. There's their credo. The Order's credo is to sow discord and kill the unwary. Sounds pretty chaotic to me.
At least they have a purpose.
That's a very broad purpose. Like, right. They're just agents of chaos is what it sounds like.
Yeah. Agents of chaos. Another good band name. Yeah.
They have no earthly desires except to, you know, do what their bounty, I guess. Mm-hmm. And then where there's one, there will be another and another. So it sounds pretty daunting.
Mm-hmm.
So they didn't have the CGI for the blood on the ice because they used it all up with the caterpillar worm guy. That was the worst CGI of his hand turning. That was awful.
I probably have said this earlier. I don't like worms. Anything wormy, I just don't like it.
Okay.
So yeah, I hate that.
Yeah, pretty
that
gross.
Got to me.
Pretty gross.
Buffy's freaked out that the assassin's
She should
her.
Be.
Yeah. She's walking down the hall. Guy pulls out a comb.
Yeah, she's suspicious. Of, yeah.
I don't know that I've ever done that in my life.
Pulled out a comb and
not while walking.
All right.
School.
Okay.
And then she just attacks Oz.
Poor Oz.
Yeah. And she's so freaked out, doesn't know what to do, so she breaks into Angel's
apartment. She puts on some sloppy gray clothes and starts heading out on the dark streets by herself. Yeah, breaks into Angel's apartment. And I put, we learned that one, he has a bed that he potentially sleeps in. Mm-hmm. And two, he does not make the bed.
No. Did you appreciate that?
I was envious. I hate making the bed.
Like Goldilocks? It was just right?
She fell asleep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And where's Angel?
Some random bar that's not the Bronze and it's not the Goth Club.
Mm-mm. It's Willie's.
Willie's place. Yeah. And Willie knows about vampires. Mm-hmm. Apparently he's an information dealer. Angel's trying to get some info, and then the tiger lady attacks.
It locks him in the cage.
Yep.
And she has an accent.
It's pretty bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. Yeah. It's vaguely Caribbean, mm-hmm. but it's 100% bad.
So the actress, Bianca Lawson.
Yes.
I don't know if you looked her up. Yeah. Okay.
Of course.
What do you have to say?
I didn't know her. I don't think I knew her from anything.
Oh, okay. She... Like 25 years later, she looks almost exactly the same.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I saw her in, there is a show briefly on, I think it was on Lifetime, called The Witches of East End, which was a bad name because it's too close to The Witches of East End.
Yeah.
And she guest starred on Freddie Prinze Jr.
Mm,
Mr. Gillar.
Connections. Mr. Gillar.
Was on it. And she looked practically the same. That was probably like 10 years ago.
Good for her.
She looks good.
All right.
Yeah.
You go, satin pants lady.
She did not have the accent. So okay. That was good. A stylistic choice.
Yes, it was a bad choice.
So Angel's locked up in the cage. Sun's
coming
up.
The sun's eastern exposure.
Willow apparently spent the night in the library.
Yes, she fell asleep. And so I had a question also about she traps him in this cage. Again, the fleeting, like, sometimes they're really strong, sometimes they're not. He can't break out of that cage.
I agree with you.
That's just wire.
Yeah.
It's not even like
a good
bars.
Yeah, a good cake he easily could have.
I would have thought so too. Okay, all right. So Giles is in the library doing the research. Willow fell asleep. This is one of the things you told me to look out for.
Don't
warn the tadpoles. And then she says, I have frog fears.
Yeah. Tadpoles, they kind of freak me out a little bit. Not as much as worms, but...
What kind of dream was that? Don't warn the tadpoles.
The
net that's coming to scoop them up.
And what is Willow good at? Surfing the net.
Oh, there's so many levels to this. Okay. Yeah. Layers.
What do you think Willow is dreaming about? Email us at thesunnydalediaries@gmail.com.
All right. So then Giles is onto something. He knows that he figured out that there's this ritual to restore a sick vampire back to health. That's what's in the manuscript. Mm-hmm. So again, I want to know how vampires can get sick.
Yeah, I agree.
And then they go back to Drusilla, and her sick acting is just so bad. It's so bad. Just bad. But funny. All right, then Cordelia and Xander are trying to find Buffy. They're at her house, kind of wandering around. And this is the first time, right, Scooby Gang?
I believe so. All right. Yes. I wrote that down too.
All right. And then Norman the Worm Guy knocks on the door, and she just lets him in because, again, the lore of free samples.
Would you, let's say it's the late 90s, and you're home alone.
Yeah.
And someone showed up.
The Avon lady?
Yeah. Would you let her in?
But it's some old dude?
Yeah, you wouldn't let him in.
No!
Would you take samples if he's willing to give them to you at the door?
Yes, if you have a little baggie of samples, okay. Sure, thanks. Leave me your card. But no, I'm not letting him in the house. First of all, if I snuck into my friend's house and they're not home, I'm not going to answer the door either.
Right.
Because I don't want anybody to know that I broke into your house.
Yeah, but, I mean, they really did. They kind of...
breaking and entering.
And then answered the door.
Yeah.
Yeah, so she lets him in. So now one of the Taraka in the house.
We don't know, yeah. And then Buffy awakens just in time to meet the vaguely Caribbean tiger lady in satin pants. And she says, don't make me do the chick fight thing, which apparently is digging your nails in.
Yep.
That's the chick fight thing.
And then Kendra goes, cheek fight?
Yeah. You nailed it.
I know. I've seen this episode a lot.
And then we find out she's Kendra, the vampire slayer.
Bum, bum, bum.
Bum, bum, bum.
To be continued.
I know.
So what are your thoughts on that?
How is that possible? There can be only one.
Right.
In the United States. And there can be one in Jamaica. Or wherever the heck she's from.
Okay. We will learn more.
I hope so.
Yeah. And yeah, it closes on that. Cliffhanger. Our first cliffhanger, really.
Yeah.
Other than like the season premiere, which I don't really count. Yeah. All right. How many steaks would you give this one?
I'm going to give this one 2.5.
Okay. I'm going for 3.
Okay. All right. There were some good lines. Mm-hmm. And yeah. Yeah. 2.5.
Okay. Do you have one of those good lines?
Don't warn the tadpoles. It's pretty funny.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it is Xander's line about ho-ho's being a vital part. I was cognitive process.
Comes back to snacks. Yeah, always comes back to the snacks.
Snacks, yeah. Okay, so that really closes it on what's my
episode
line? Part
9.
One? Yeah,
part 1. Okay, so everybody, a reminder that it is time to break out your craft supplies and start making your diorama
for our diorama contest.
Diorama contest. You have until
End of May.
31st. To email us with pictures of your diorama, which can be any scene from season 1 or 2 of Buffy. And it can be either type of shoebox diorama. It just has to be a shoebox and a diorama.
That's all we want.
However you interpret that. And there is a prize offered. We're not sure what it is exactly yet. It'll be good.
Yes, it will. And it'll be Buffy related.
It'll be Buffy related. And, yeah, just send it in.
Yeah. There'll be info about the contest on our social media and on our website, thesunnydalediaries.com.
Great. If you have any feedback for us or a review of our podcast, please submit that on your platform of choice. Visit us and get in touch with us either through email at thesunnydalediaries@gmail.com or on any of the socials we're on, which are plentiful. Not X.
Yeah, everything but X.
That's the name of it. Everything but X.
If you want to join our Discord server, there is a link on our website to get an invite to that.
Yes. And I think that's it.
Yeah, we will see you next time for What's My Line Part 2.
Ciao, amigos.
Bye.